Hello, my name is Pelumi Nubi and I solo drove from London to Lagos. Enjoy this episode.
Are you into Bebo?
I actually do want to travel around Nigeria. It's just a trip.
Go to good. One time I asked a question, the teacher said, is it time for questions? Can't you wait?
This is the podcast for you.
I mean, just a sidebar to Christians. Nobody's getting saved by the fact that you're not getting some.
Act of being an adult, grown-upicity.
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
I said what I said. The Unsolicited Opinions podcast starts now.
Who was prepared for this?
This season of I Said What I Said is brought to you by AfriChange. AfriChange is a fantastic platform you can use to send and receive money from Canada, Nigeria, and to tons of countries, over 50 countries, if I believe. But they have something special for our people in the UK.
Very, very special. So at the end of the month, AfriChange is launching their UK card, which means that you can send money from the UK to about 50 countries, and you can also receive money in the UK from these countries.
Yay.
And if you go to AfriChange.co.uk and you sign up to their wait list, you can get a few perks. You'll be one of the first people to have access to the UK corridor. And you also get invited to the parties that they're having to launch them in different cities across the UK. We
Fantastic.
Love a good bash.
Do you know what else we love? We love the discount
we love
over
discount.
Here.
We love
so if you use the discount code IISWIS,
yeah.
you get a discount when you send your money. I mean, who doesn't
it's
want...
just brilliant.
Who doesn't
brilliant.
Want...
You get a discount on your
such
initial
things.
Transfer.
This is why we love AfriChange, because AfriChange loves us.
That's what we do.
All right, guys. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, all.
Greetings to you. How are you all doing? The bounce
I'm so
is
tired.
Today. The bounce is exhausted.
I'm so tired. I don't even know why.
The bounce.
I'm so tired.
I know why. The bounce is exhausted. And the bounce has a guest today.
We do.
All the way from London. via long journey to here. So you can introduce yourself.
So my name is Pelumi Nubi. Born in Lagos, grew up in London, and love to travel. So
yes. Yeah. Do you want to tell them what you did recently?
Yeah.
Because they're blind and they've not seen.
So I just finished being the first female to solo drive from London to Lagos using my Peugeot 107.
The car has a name.
It does. It's called Lumi.
Uh-huh.
Full name, Oluwa Luminate. We call that Lumi.
Love that.
You got back. You arrived in Lagos when?
On the 7th,
on the
Sunday.
7th. Mm-hmm. So how have you spent the last, five days?
Yeah. Maybe they feel like a month. Mm-hmm. Just back-to-back media. Mm-hmm. A lot of interviews, a lot of conversation, potential partnership, all of that stuff. So, yeah, it's been a...
Nice. I like your
busy lifestyle.
You being your bag. That's the best.
Important.
Don't let them whine you. I mean, if we take it back to the beginning, I remember when I saw this, I just thought, okay. So why?
What did you think first?
No, genuinely, that's
no, that's what I mean. Like literally, when I saw that you were, when I saw that, like, someone is driving, I just thought, okay, like, I mean, I'm always for the girls. I love that, but I was like, me now, if you ask me to drive to Ikeja, I can't do it. So I was like,
why?
To drive all the way. Yeah, what was like the motivation for you?
To be honest, I love to travel. You know, I've visited over 80 plus countries. So adventure is always something I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Each time I visited Lagos, it was always just a flight away, 6 hours flight. But I was curious, you know, about the other West African countries and stuff. And I did do like a drive across Namibia.
Okay.
2022, solo drive, 4,000 kilometers. And it was just awesome. Like I had a blast. So I was like, okay, we can do this on a bigger scale. And the biggest girl looked like from
Lagos. Do you know that? I wasn't even aware you could drive.
A lot of people couldn't.
I wasn't like, I swear. I thought, mighty field geography with the map.
Yeah.
So I swear there's an ocean.
Plenty, two oceans, big ones. So there's the English Channel one, just put the pound the ferry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's an hour and a half, nothing too big.
And that takes you from where to where?
So the first one is from Dover to Calais, so from UK to France. And then when you get to Spain, you take another one from Spain into Morocco.
So you went from France to Spain?
Yeah, true.
And then you took another ferry from Spain.
Crossed into Morocco.
Okay.
And then just kept going to.
Yeah, you just downwards. Keep. How long down. Was the Spain to Morocco ferry?
1.5 hours too, as well. Okay, okay. So very short. Yeah. Body of water. Your
France to Spain is a lovely drive.
It I've is actually. That. It really yeah. is nice.
See? I stayed in Biarritz.
Were you a passenger, passenger prisoners then? You didn't do the driving yourself.
Of course, I was a passenger.
It was a nice drive. Like, did you do it
from the back? Excuse me, where are we?
Are we there yet?
No, so we went to some festival on the border where they wear white and red.
Okay, interesting.
Like they wear they tie it with the bulls and all that. Oh, I was like, this is very fetish. Very occult. Everybody's tying red
with white.
Do you get? But yeah, so like, how long did it take you in total?
So I left home 24th of January, 2024. So over two months.
Yeah.
More than 2 months on the road.
That's crazy.
I don't know why I thought it was shorter.
It could have been shorter if I was just driving. So the drive could have been like, yeah, it could have been 2-3 weeks and I'll be here. Mm-hmm. But I didn't just want it to be a drive. Like, that's boring for me. So I was like, okay, I want to explore these places, try tourism, food, culture.
Okay, just, so that was, it was like the full experience.
It was a full experience.
Oh, interesting. Do you know, I generally didn't want to have too much information, so I wouldn't ask you too many things.
Okay,
so I went out of my window to like check and see anything,
kind of like, what's
like
going
what
on.
Happened yeah, so yeah, that yeah. I would be more a bit more curious.
Yes, makes sense.
Okay, so you started off, did you just, when you said, okay, yeah, I'm going to travel for 2 months. Financially, what was the plan? Like, because I think that's something everybody would.
That's cool.
Everyone is just like, okay, cool.
It's very.
I love when people
pretty.
Say, I want to travel the world. I say, okay, with which money?
Which
money? What are you talking about?
Because I want to know, like, what the planning is. Because, again, with a lot of these things, we're very Nigerian.
Yes.
I'm very, actually, very specifically Yoruba. Mm-hmm. And Yoruba people do this thing where, what's there?
Like, you know, there? You're just go now.
Like, what's there? Should be Pelumi doing it? What's there? Should be Hugh Daddy doing it? Is it not cool? What's there? Like, people will just, what's there? Is it not?
Or, I
like,
promise you, as we speak now, someone in existence. Somebody in existence is getting ready to drive to London. I promise.
1,000,000%.
That's all they know there.
1,000,000%.
Once someone does something, Ekiti people, they must.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask, just generally, like, the planning that goes into that. Because I think with undertaking any big thing, like a friend of ours did a sabbatical for a year. And she was telling me she came to visit. She's now gone back to work. But she was telling me she came to my house like towards the end of her sabbatical. She came to Nigeria and then went back to Canada. And she was like, oh, you know something that's really shocked her? How many people have questions about taking a sabbatical?
I was like,
Alma, you left work for a year. And she didn't just like leave work and she traveled.
She lived. It wasn't like a suffering. She was living.
She was having a fantastic time. And everyone is going to have questions because that takes a lot of planning.
Of course.
But obviously, like, the storytelling part is a lot more fun to just start off with. I drove from
London.
Not like I spent a year thinking about it, but I want to ask.
And
like,
then I planned. And so I'm curious about the planning
process.
The planning was intense. You know, these kind of expeditions, if you want to call it that,
yeah,
it takes a team. You know, normally you are there with a chef, a medic, a logistic person.
Just in case.
Like, you are, is a full worker and having to juggle that. So detailed planning had to have occurred pre, you know, leaving home.
So what was that? What did you think about?
So September 2022 was when I said, okay, so it took about a year plus to actually
plan. Sure.
And you know, it wasn't every day I was thinking about
it.
Yeah,
sure, just in general.
Just in general, trying to put it into place. So the first thing is definitely just, I'm a big believer of, if you want to do something, find people that have done something similar.
Yeah.
You know, so speaking to those people, I feel like they're the expert. They'll tell you what routes, what this and that. So literally getting them on Zoom.
Have people done the same drive?
So Mr. Kunle is also in Nigeria. I did a bike ride back in 2022. I was one of those people because I was just like, okay, as a woman.
Actually, I remember
there was
someone, but I don't remember where it came from. I just remember somebody
was
driving somewhere.
So there's other people that have even done, not necessarily the same route, but at least they've done West Africa tour or they've done, you know, London to Morocco or something like that. Just anyone that's done any of the journey. I literally YouTube, I was watching everyone's vlog. I was literally looking for Europe to Africa travel, like anything with that team. So reading forums, reading Facebook posts, like, it literally was intense research.
Like research. Forum.
Yeah,
like, my dad would be very happy to hear that word. Forum.
No, I think because of the places, like, I was going to Mauritania. There's
you
no blog post on Mauritania.
Use
a forum. Like, you have to go down that, you know, that's called the dark web, but rabbit hole, like, literally actually looking for people that are like, you know, done in the past or are just not that, you know, they're not TikTok basically. Mm. These people that are doing this kind of trip. So you will find them on TikTok.
The way you said it now, I feel like TikTok is going to take offense.
Why?
They're going to start being like, where are the travelers? Because you know, like,
did you not hear the last one, Mr. Cooler? That sounds like someone that uses WhatsApp to say, we are now, and his camera will be here. You had to follow the journey on his WhatsApp status. That's so interesting.
So, when you decided to, did you take a leave from work? How did you like?
Sorry, before we get there, just a very quick question as Yoruba babes. Your mom, Ellen, your parents, your family, what did they say?
What
because
they say?
All that's in my head now is yelling.
No, it's, not, it's not happening.
I'm driving to London.
Do you know, let me tell you something.
No, I'm just imagining between my mom, my grandma, my auntie.
Forget
combo.
Forget London.
That conversation
will People go. Will just be calling me.
Forget London. I mean, traveling, traveling within, I can't travel by road within West
Africa. Within Nigeria.
This is the first time that my parents are going to find out that I took a road trip from Enugu to Abuja. They didn't know. They heard we were traveling and we flew. So we flew to multiple places, but then we couldn't get a flight from Enugu to Abuja. I think the flights were all sold out, something crazy. And then we had to charter. And all I kept thinking on the road was, okay, because there's just stretches where genuinely
there's nothing.
I don't know how to say, guys, there are hours and hours
nothing
in the bush. You're just
be yourself
hoping for
I.
the best. And then you just see like one house somewhere and then you guys keep going. And I remember I do this thing when I'm very anxious, I force my body into rest. I don't want to see the road. I don't want my mind to start going crazy. So I said, let me sleep. And at one point I woke up and the driver was still driving and I told him that, oh, like, is this a dangerous stretch? He goes, it depends. I said, okay. It depends on what? Said the day. The day. He said, but don't worry, God is with us.
Aye.
I said, okay.
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 Go back to sleep.
I actually just forced my body because I started hyperventilating. And that's genuinely, I was like, it was a beautiful drive, but I was like, that was going to be my first and last time. I have no interest in like.
It's so fun because that's so interesting. The only cross-country trip I've done, like I said, is the France to Spain. And that's because one of my friends lives in Biarritz, which is like quarter to the border. So it was, but if you see that drive, the convertible was down. Pictures were taken. It was such a full vibe. Yeah. And a lot of people were doing it. So it's completely, or like, I've done the part of the coast of Italy once. So
okay,
like,
we're talking about drive, very different
that's what
things.
I'm saying.
Chartering a god is good.
I want to
be
say
cool
that it's
good.
Not the
with
same
a camera,
all the time.
With a bunch of cameras at the back and nothing but one person's mother's prayers, revving up the vehicle was not
it's
the
not
same
It's not quite
thing
the same
all.
As,
yeah,
as
fact,
vibely.
There was nothing like the man said. He even threatened us. He was like, he hopes everybody has urinated. Because he's not stopping. No, he was like, look. I'll be what is yourself. Like, he wasn't trying to hear.
He wasn't playing.
I'm stopping.
No, 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 I was like, oh, let's stop. Let everybody stretch. Stretch.
You stretch when you get
just
home.
Just keep moving. But it was, and it was even for work as well. It was just a very different vibe. So, but like, Fake Hemi said, what do your family say?
To be honest, again, this is the first trip I've done that a lot of people got a lot of
involved.
Attention and got people involved. Okpolumi has been doing a lot of crazy things in the past. So I think it's sometimes coming to them with a track record of, you know, I think we had more of a debate of when I was trying to do the road trip from Lagos to Ghana. That was, so I've done stuff like that. So Lagos, Ghana, I've done the Namibia road trip, I said. I've done London to Lake Como. So they've seen back track record that, okay.
And that's a sweet one. That one I can do.
That was a nice one. So yeah, just having those track record. But I think the way I've been brought up is very, they're very accepting of,
yeah,
you know, that kind of, yeah, that's how they are.
To talk about that, just a little segue. So I'm very fascinated by how people who do like, just slightly different things are like brought up. So we've had Burna's mom on the podcast. And one thing that's very, very clear is that she brought her children up quite differently from most people. It's actually quite clear. And when you see them interact, because we know them, when you see them interact, it's very obvious that there wasn't like a script per se in telling your children what their capabilities are, what they can and cannot do in a sense. And like you see you actually kind of see what that does to mm-hmm. a person's psyche. Because mm-hmm. if your default is, I can do something first, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I shouldn't do something, mm. the attitude you take to, you bring to life is very, very different. Yes. If your understanding is about your capacity as opposed mm. to your limitations, facts. Every single time, facts. Your, just the way you behave is different. And it even shows in secondary school, if you think about the kids mm. who, apart from the troublesome ones, if you think about the ones who had a more positive attitude towards, I don't know, anything from sports to learning
yeah,
something
they
new.
They just were jumping mm. in.
They were different. Like, they were the people who are more keen to mm. try stuff. You, mm. by the time you talk to them a little bit, you get the sense that at home there was just a lot of, it's better for you to like try something as opposed to,
you're not allowed to.
Your yeah. first awareness is of what is potentially exciting yeah, as opposed exactly. to what is potentially dangerous
facts.
Or difficult.
Facts.
And I find that just really, really interesting. So
yeah.
I
also like people who their parents just allow them do stuff.
Do things.
Try
yeah.
stuff. Like mm-hmm. people who sign up for things and their parents are like, okay, now like you can't go. Mm-hmm. You know, all mm-hmm. these things.
Or they're the ones even more likely there. To encourage. Yeah. So I actually thought of that. I was like, you know, I generally thought, is she mixed? You know,
mixed
is she? No, it's true. Just
I
because
I did a genetic test. I was like, maybe I'm a bit, you know.
No,
it's
because
99% Nigerian.
No, because generally, I'm not even trying to be funny. We are very like, and I think it's just because of the way the country is. Like, we've become culturally very risk averse.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to do the done thing, the safe thing.
Facts.
You know, I'm sure. Like, you know, I'm sure there are a few uncles or aunties that were like,
of course.
You know what would be nice if she does live stream. Throughout that 6 hour from London. I don't think anybody has done that before. Why don't we start with live stream from London to Lagos?
Mm-hmm.
Let her stream herself in the plane. That would be a unique one. As opposed to driving. No, genuinely, because imagine coming from a family where constantly everybody just telling you, you know they kidnap.
Mm.
You know on the road
you,
this
as
happens.
In,
you know,
so guys,
even if you're ginger,
so many things.
It would diminish.
It would just diminish. And then you start saying, do you know what? Maybe I can just, maybe I should just fly.
Mm.
And then we'll do it.
You'll just
unique.
Say yeah, or you just
know.
Fly part of the way.
Yeah.
Like you sure, maybe when you get to Morocco, you now you won't do the Africa like all these things. So I'm just super curious about if there was any challenges or if your family was just
they're very
I love that.
That's they have
really
discipline.
Nice.
It's very different from what you can't or cannot do.
Yeah.
It's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So we are kind of like okay, in check in line,
yeah.
but not in our goals or in our visions.
This reminds me of something. I thought it was a bit of a whack interview, but I saw something recently and I liked something that the guy said. He said he noticed that with Nigerian upbringing, a lot of Nigerian parents punish children not for what is wrong, but for what they personally don't like.
So you might do something.
What you did is not wrong. But your parents
don't
like it.
I don't want you to do that.
I personally don't like it.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that But the parents don't frame it as, I don't like what you did. They frame it as fundamentally, you've done a bad thing.
Mm.
And for me, an extension of that is that you find the way Nigerians debate very minute deviations of choice.
Mm.
So for instance, someone like Fayekemi might say, okay, yes, let me give an example. Fayekemi dislikes when, don't put your spoon in your, you can't just, you know how people just come and put their fork in your food? She doesn't like it at all. It's like a personal preference thing. I find that when she says that thing, generally people just say, why?
People
like,
are
just
always
a thing about,
so upset. Like, not upset,
yeah,
just like
defensive about it.
It becomes like
just
a debate.
On a fundamental basis, you just want to. And the thing is, there is no reason.
There's no reason.
Like
she just doesn't like
it's just
it.
It's just,
but we see it as a judgment of, okay, so us that do it.
Yeah, like how we
could. Because we're brought up to almost feel like those differences are like, because your parents didn't like this thing. So for instance, there are just small things. Instead of your parents to say, I don't like when you do this thing, they'll say, this thing is bad.
Wrong. You know what's so funny?
What are you talking about?
I promise you, like 5 times out of 10 when I say that thing, someone, like an adult will say, what of your husband? And I'm like, but why would I marry somebody who cannot respect basic boundaries?
Facts.
Around food, they're like, that means I'm not ready for marriage. Is it because of spoon?
No, genuinely, they mean it too. They feel sorry for you.
They mean it too.
They feel sorry for you.
One of my aunties always warning me that this thing that you're doing, it can't work.
Just about the spoon thing or something.
As in,
okay.
She was like, it can't work. You'll get married. It will cause frustration. And I was like, because I tell the man not to put his fork inside my plate.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
No, but it's because
but they're so worried. So it's not these small things,
but it's just I really am a bit more curious to like what that does, like upbringing.
Yeah.
Talk upbringing about is it. So important.
It's really, really it's important.
So I promise you, when I saw, it was one of the first things I thought about because of my own family. That what, I mean, mommy, again, shout out to you. You know, lovely lady. But I remember I was meant to go to Morocco in my gap year.
Mm-hmm.
In my gap year, I plan, I'll do Italy. It's pre-love now.
Okay.
I'll do Italy.
Come on.
Then I'll do Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll come to Lagos. So, okay now, Morocco. They said we should go there, teach the children English, one thing. Oh, my business. I just said, okay, let me just have something that I said that I claim that I'm doing for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let it not be as if I went there to play. So they said we should paint some buildings, some schools, you know, in the village, and then teach some of the kids some English. I said, well, I speak English. I can't paint. I'm with you.
No,
so I'm down. And there was an organization organizing the thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was 2 weeks of like charitable stuff and obviously 1 month of just playing.
Mm.
Okay, now, time to go. The night before comes. My flight is at, I was leaving from one of these Gatwick or
something. Mm-hmm.
Flight is at 4 a.m. Maybe like 11, 12.
Okay.
I started getting various phone calls across family members. Only one Lala.
Uh-huh.
I said, only one Lala. I can't go. That they had
turn off your phone.
They had a dream.
Yeah.
And in the dream. Anyway, I will say what for plenty of things.
Of course.
Plenty things
going on. No way you're traveling. You turn off your
phone. Anyway, I put it to you that I didn't travel.
You didn't go?
No, it was the whole thing. She didn't go.
You don't understand.
Her grandma, her mom. It was a whole thing.
Like, everyone was like, okay, but what if? Is it worth it? Do I know the children?
Mm.
I don't know them. They're my own family that I know. I won't listen to them. Then I want to go and
teach other... And keep in mind, we were much younger, like 19 or something.
I want to go and teach other people's children English. What do I know about the country?
When you were asking, was it from a point of informing them of permission?
I didn't ask. I said, I've packed my load. I'm on the flight. I've booked flights. I've booked hotel. Like, I've booked accommodation the night before.
That's wild.
I couldn't go. I said, God, I've...
No, but then again, like I said, we were also very young.
We were very young. So if you look at this thing, I'm like... even now that I'm not that young. Anyway,
Do you think that's left an imprint? Like, you're just like...
Huh?
Do you think that I've left like an...
No, it's just that. As in, I know that if I say I'm driving now, either way, family meeting. They just want to understand, okay,
what's going on?
What's a virgin? Okay, you want to make it a bit spicy. Talk your share. You get like, fly a piece.
Yeah, like, I think
that's what they consider to be. Even when I went to Italy, so the next day I vexed and then I moved. I went to Italy immediately.
Okay,
but obviously because my Italy plan was meant to be later. I then didn't have plans. I just showed up in Italy. I called one of my friends. I lived in Italy.
Okay, so they let you go to Italy.
I left. Okay, as my bags were packed like that, I left.
Okay.
So and then, but even Italy, that is a bit more panico. So I'm just like, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
The difference.
How much petrol, diesel?
I don't know the exact amount of pump. I need to do the spreadsheet on it. I started and then I just stopped recording.
Did you know everywhere you're going to stop?
I knew generally, kind of like a very rough draft. But obviously we travel, unexpected happens.
Things happen.
So I had like a general, very loose plan of, okay,
of places you want to stop.
I'm gonna stop or something. I was using an app called iOverlander.
Okay.
Which is like, because I was, okay, camping my car. I don't know if you mentioned that. But I was going to ask that.
How did you
So I converted sleep? My car to have like a mattress inside of it so I could sleep. Okay. Also have like a kitchen set up too as well. It was a cute setup. The way she's looking at me.
No, that's where you've lost me. I'm sorry.
I've seen all these videos of people driving. And then they do these setups. And then they convert all these things that fold out.
Exactly.
And
lost me.
Exactly. Do one thing.
But usually that'll be on like in the 4x4. Like
I'm like in a Peugeot.
So because I wasn't using the front passenger seat, so I just collapsed the back seat.
To lie down.
So there was like a mattress, a pillow. And then the back had like a little, because I was going to drive to the Sahara, so I had like a kind of water which has like its funnest tap to it, and
I want to explain something to you.
Mm.
I did this sounds campish
Did you do DOE?
And I did Duke of Edinburgh experience. And okay. I don't know how to explain to you. So what it is in essence is insanity. But it doesn't make, for basically for my personality type.
Well,
the thing is, what you're
between Duke of Edinburgh and
glamping. I don't.
Very glamping, not glamping, glamping.
You don't, I don't
like
think.
Cute little.
No.
No, okay.
I don't believe in it. But this thing was because, so with, let me say something about like the process of being a young adult in the UK. When it's time for you to start going to university, there's this idea, like there's this entire thing about you have to do everything you possibly can to make yourself the best candidate possible.
And also look like you have very
and also look like very
like a robust.
So
individual.
Because my Nigerian education was just focused on like getting good grades, there was just my mom had this fear that I wasn't well rounded enough.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. She'd read in the school brochure and emails that they'd sent about this Duke of Edinburgh experience. And I didn't sign up. My mother signed me up. And I was like, do you know what this thing is? Mm-hmm. Just for context, it's like there's camping involved.
Okay.
So you are walking.
It's actually an expedition.
It's like an expedition.
It's like a full, yeah. It's like
yeah, you walk mountains. Yeah, walk. I'm not joking. No. They carried us to Wales and we're walking. Now, I'm not that person.
Okay.
Like at all. I have zero interest. You know how some people are like, oh, they hike and then they see the beauty of the
mountains.
Anything. I'm just like, surely there's a different way to get there and still see
without the work. Without the work.
So I didn't enjoy the beauty of anything. I was just frustrated throughout. And I'll never ever forget we're on a mountain in Wales. My group, one fool, had read nonsense on the map. And we had deviated what would take us. So, you know, let me tell you the worst thing about this hiking, whatever. A 1 hour deviation never takes 1 hour to
come. Yeah.
Never ever. Particularly when you're walking, it'll take you like 2-3. So, we had just found out that the person that
is meant to be in
had
charge
done
of
the direction. Because the entire thing is that you're supposed to split all the responsibilities, the geography portion, everything. So everybody gets a chance to show their survivalist skills. Anyway, whoever's turn it was error. And we had just accepted that, okay, we're going to get back to like, we're going to get to our camping spot where we'll meet our instructor slightly later. I had accepted that. So we had gotten to one point. I stopped to take a deep breath. And guys, I shit you not, gnats entered my mouth.
What?
I swear to you. It was like, you guys, I went bat shit crazy. Like, I lost my mind. Brought out my phone. I walked like 100 meters. I called my dad. My dad, I want to just know, my dad was in a board meeting in Lagos, okay? The bank he was working in, very serious institution. I called my dad's office. And the phone rings, he doesn't pick up. And I call his executive assistant at the time. Who funny enough was for Larry's mom.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And so she must have heard
your voice.
I had never sounded like that before. She's like, you know, she's like, hi Jola, your dad is in a meeting. I start wailing. I'm like, get him out of water. She's like, Jola, he's in a board meeting, the chairman, the director. I said, I don't care. Get him out. So she obviously is panicked. And kind of sends a note to my dad that I don't know what's going on, but Jola is really insistent that she. So my dad calls me back. And I'm like, Daddy, I'm sending you my location right now. And I need you. I don't care how it happens. I need to be lifted
off the
mountain. Now, first of all, my dad did not even know.
I was in the mountain.
He didn't know what was happening. He was like, what do you mean? Where are you? I said, I'm in Wales. He said, why are you in Wales? You just come outside London. I'm doing this expedition. It's mommy. Mommy put me up on it. I was losing my mind. Do you know, it took my dad a good like 20 minutes to calm me down. Meanwhile, my house, I was the only black person in this group. I was the only black person. So those girls have started crying. They were just like, God, somebody has run mad. This African. At this point, they did not even understand because my accent had switched. They did not understand.
Oh, what was happening?
They didn't know whether I was cussing them. They did not know what was going on. I'll never forget. I lost my shit.
Oh my gosh.
And then my dad called my mom to be like, where is my daughter? And what is happening? So my mom called me and said, you're being very dramatic. I said, where are you? Are you not in Serum in Lagos? What do you mean? I lost my shit completely. Like, oh my God, like I was so, and I told her that I'll never forgive you for putting me up. I was saying, it's because I wanted to go to university.
It's for your own good.
We have this whole argument and I remember like it was at that point I was like, you know, there's not, because I actually agree that yes, I'd become very, very closed up certain ideas. So this was supposed to open me up.
It was supposed to open up your mind.
But I think the thing about travel experiences don't have to... You don't have to like what you're going through. Does that make sense?
Okay, fundamentally
disagree. No. Let me explain.
Oh, yeah.
Because, for example, let me use a more basic example. Okay. So some people, when they don't try a new dish, they have this mentality that I need to like this dish I'm trying.
Right.
That is not how I approach a new food. I'm just trying it. I'm going to get feedback to see if I like it or not.
Mm.
So you had this experience and just told you a little bit more about you that I don't like the thing.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Like, you don't need to love.
I didn't need to learn.
But how
would
you know?
No.
Here's the difference.
I knew already.
I did not go on Jacob.
No, I knew already.
No, I know. They signed me up. I said, mommy, let me tell you one thing about me. I can't make it.
No, it was awful.
Edinburgh. Any other cultural experience that I do,
I'll do it.
Then I had one. They said they're going to Mallorca for the Spanish Kinikol cave. I said, hey,
I'll do that.
Spain, we move.
Oh, it was
Wales can't catch me.
And then we camped, so like full on camping. Like you have tents like, and everything. It was awful. There was a place we went to camp. You guys, do you know all I kept? I remember I sat up in my tent and I kept thinking. Do you know that there's ready-made, fresh suffering in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
See what my mother sends me. Not even to, like, a different... I'm in the UK.
I'm still here.
Do you know, I genuinely woke up. I was like, because this camp...
I just bolting up out of bed. Like,
because let's say what woke me up. Because you actually have to camp. You're not allowed to, like, stay in hostels or hotels or anything. So you camp. You guys, we were camping in a field.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, all our tents were surrounded by... sheep and cows.
Were they rubbing up on your tent?
Of course not, because they were curious. Like, because they don't see, people don't come there every single night. So they let them out like they usually do. So I think they just saw like lights and stuff.
And they're like, what's going on?
Sheep. And then they shat everywhere. So you wake up in the morning and then the shepherds were like, yeah, girls, you're going to have to be careful. Hey,
not that accent.
I was just like, what? When we got back home, I told my mother that in her life, she should never ever in her life sign me up for anything without not just double checking, triple checking with me. I was so furious. Like I looked and felt like I was going to die. No, that experience for me was so awful. So I mean, I'm kudos. To all those, I eventually got the thing. I didn't piss me off. It wasn't even Duke of Edinburgh gold, bronze. So I'm not like, oh, when I get to university, I can
upgrade.
Continue.
But you know the thing, I have friends experience. Who bloody loved Duke of Edinburgh.
Some people really like this.
I have friends who do it, you know. Wild camping, for fun. Nobody begged them. Or they actually not. You know, there's like obviously there's glamping, there's camping. Wild camping is a field of travel where you go by yourself from your house. Then you say you want to live in the wild, like the people in the wild, the animals. You don't want to disturb the habitat. So basically, you don't have a tent. You have to create a shelter. So when I saw the guy doing it, I messaged him that, bro, you know, we went A-levels together. Okay. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you okay?
Have you run mad in the time that we've not been in school? Kilo day. I had to message him after seeing his stories for a couple of months. I want to just understand. Are they forcing you? I said, bro, you work at City in London. Like, you wear
nice break
you're on suit now. You
nice
wear
break.
Suit. Meanwhile, here you are tying leaves together to protect from the rain. And you're so happy.
Yeah. No. People do. There are different types of people. But you said you don't have a clear idea of how much you spent on like petrol and fuel.
I think the total cost of the trip was in the high ends of £20,000
of the trip.
Oh my God! You know, I thought it would be more.
Probably more. But remember, I was camping in my car.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you were saving accommodation.
I was being quiet. But if someone's going to plan this, someone's like, oh, I want to do this, you're probably in more
okay,
than 50,000.
Okay, do you think, so tell me, how did you plan your, like, how did you think about, obviously, you're driving through so many places. And so your trip could have even taken longer.
Way
if
longer.
You literally,
could be a year. Could be a...
I mean, I'm just thinking, even between, on either half, Morocco to Nigeria or London to Morocco, you could have stopped in legitimately 30 different places.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you now like pick, okay, this is where I want to see and what kind of things were you doing like in your...
In each of the places.
Yeah.
So I had like a semi-hard end, if that means, like I had to wrap it up because of my mom's 60th, which I ended up missing. We had like a whole family cruise booked because of the accident that got missed. But yeah, so in terms of where to stop, it was basically based on the duration. Some places like Europe and Morocco I've been before, so
you didn't
I kind of went quite quickly through them, and other places I slowed down a bit. And it's just kind of like once I've tasted local food and I've done a few sites and I've, you know, met one or two locals, I've conversed. Mm. That's kind of what I love about travel. Mm. So it was just, there was no specificity. Sometimes I wish I had more time in places, some which I'm like, okay, it's time to move on. So it really was very varied in terms of how I was traveling and what I got to do. But yeah.
Mm. Another thing, right, about the choice to go alone.
Mm.
Did you ever consider, like, obviously you mentioned now that you've done solo trips before, driving as well. But did you ever consider maybe doing a group trip instead of a solo?
I love my solo trips. I do host group trips. I have a company for that plans group trip for people. But in terms of, you know, me traveling, it's very much solo. I couldn't convince anyone to get off for 3 months. Like, I was like, do you want to join me for 3 months? They're like, good for you. We'll cheer you on from the sideline. So yeah, it was more of that. But yeah, if nobody was going to come, I was going to do myself anyways. But it was that.
And then the other thing on this is driving in different countries, because everybody has different... is your car left side?
It's on the right. Is that UK?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So even that... So driving on in different countries, different sides of the road, how did you hack that? Because people, like, as you come from Europe, it starts to change.
Straight away. I think it's only the UK we drive on that side. So I live in Dubai as well, so we drive on the other side as well. So practicing both sides as well. When I go to different places, I do car rental. So I think the brain, you might do a little oops, like, you know, when you're turning into road or something, your brain might switch.
But like, fundamentally,
if you're following someone in front, which was I tried to do for the first few times, at least a car in front of me. So and your brain just kind of wires that, okay, I need to be on this side of the road. But it's very quick switch, at least for me. Some people find it difficult, but for me, I've been able to use both sides of the road.
Mm. When you were, what were some, like, because I know, like, you had a lot of wonderful experiences, but there were also times that you might have just been like, what's going on here? And I wanted to ask, like, what were the things that maybe you didn't necessarily think about or pay as much attention to?
That became more important
as you were growing.
Data, internet.
Mm. Do you know, I was thinking of how are you communicating? Obviously, you have data, internet, but like different countries have different
countries. The cost of it as well, the connectivity, like because I was heavy on social media as well, so it was just uploading files and video. I'm just like, I just put 10 gig. What's going on? Like, you know, so things sometimes places like, you know, in the Gambia, it's like, you literally, as you're loading up, it's like, it's finished. So I don't know what's going on there. So yeah, that was something that was a bit different. Just the perception of, you know, how women are treated in certain places were very interesting. It was very much, where's your husband? You know.
Really?
Like,
what sort of places?
Almost most of West Africa. Like, there was just very much. Most of West Africa.
I thought you meant all that people
West Africa
to have sex. Okay, if it's our own people. Oh, normal. No, I even thought you meant, like, you know,
France.
Places
France
I would have asked you.
I've done that.
No.
And not those other places, they're more like curious. Like, you're really doing this in this small car. I think that was really something that shocked people, like the size of the car, the choice of the car.
Was the car deliberate that you chose? Or?
It was my car. So I've had your car for about 5 years. It was just my car. So it was kind of like that or buy a new car. And I was like, I don't want to add any more cost to this trip. I've had this car. I know if it's acting funny or sounding funny. So I'm like, let me just use it on this car. But
Okay. And so what this thing you said about like the perception of women and traveling from country to country. I wanted to ask, just so this is about travel. We talk about travel in the most glamorous form a lot of the time. Like, you're traveling for a holiday and it's all about rest. Mm. So like, your budget is a bit more than you would normally spend on any other thing. And your experiences generally are very... So if you're traveling, not by road, if you're traveling by air across different countries, you meet customs in a very different way. If you're traveling by road and water, it's extremely different, particularly in West Africa. And I wanted to ask you, like,
because when we talk about travel, the idea is sometimes like the journey is not as important as what happens when you get there. Don't worry. Like, so people tend to gloss over all that part.
No,
it's just
important.
Don't worry. When you get there, these are all the things
to
do. Mm-hmm. But I want us to talk specifically about some of these things because it's not a sexy conversation. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. It's also very like, oh, let's keep it in-house. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give people the wrong perception, mm-hmm. blah, 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 racism, one thing, two thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important to talk about just sort of like what ends up being an unnecessary indignity a lot of times when you're traveling, which is how you're treated by, in essence, the first representations you get of a country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you get to, and I'm saying this because I've also been to Benin Republic by road.
Okay.
And I remember thinking this experience with immigration and customs is completely, it makes zero sense for considering what African culture is around guests.
It's actually nasty.
It's not hospitable.
Disgusting.
It's not
like, this experience for what is meant to be guests entering or leaving your country is absolutely disgusting. And it's something that we, on the one hand, kind of accept based on like, it's a blip on the radar of your journey. But I wanted to talk about that because you did it across different countries.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask
continents.
Like, continents. I want to ask like, what were those like, and I want you to like, if you can talk about a few, what was that like? Because again, there's this thing in Africa and West Africa to be specific, where we act like these things are not real problems.
Yeah.
It's very it's very upsetting.
Almost done, like, we've done the drive to Ghana like three or four times and honestly, it is a travesty.
It's,
like for people who are just, as in they're like three, four countries, we're all packed together. I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah. This is crazy behavior.
Yeah.
Particularly because technically, you know, there's just very many layers to the madness because it's not just, oh, I'm a guest, I'm a visitor. The whole idea of ECOWAS was that this was supposed to be simpler and easier and we're supposed to treat each other better. And we have a different connection to the rest of, not just even the rest of the world, but the rest of Africa. So the idea really is that West Africa, we're actually a lot more similar than we are different. And so we're together, we have these treaties, we have these passports, we have these agreements that really do say that, you know, we're supposed to treat each other differently. I have a British passport as well. I cannot lie to you, the benefits are
plentiful.
Same. Like you, there are places you go and there's just the treatment of assumption. The assumption is that you are innocent until proven guilty. You are a good person. Come here to spend good money. I'm going to treat you as such. And a West African traveling through West Africa, it should say like, if you try anyhow, you see anyhow from jump, but not even in like a funny way, in a threatening way, a lot of the time, like I'm going to make your life difficult. I'm going to make things, you feel miserable through this journey. So I want to just kind of like talk a little bit about what those experiences are because that's also not their job.
Yeah.
And that's not your work. Your work is not to make me upset.
Your work is actually to check.
Just check.
Look at my passport. It's valid. Yeah. Stamp it. Let me go.
Yeah.
That's
so I wanted to ask,
honestly, I always say land border is not for the weak. Like, if you don't have mind, if you don't have stamina, just fly.
Also, if you're impatient.
If you're impatient,
swim, they can lock you
do
up.
Anything,
do witchcraft.
Do
anything, you need
anything
to do.
But don't take a land border if you don't have the patience. Like, I've slept in the borders three times during this road trip. I literally, I'll give an example. They won't let me through. Like, literally give you standard example. So, traveling to Europe, stack different. I didn't even know I was crossing borders. So
yeah, because you're just like, there's this. They have this thing.
Yeah.
Don't just show your passport. They just open the kidney. They're like,
this what
okay,
I
you want to pass this country. No pee, go.
Like, literally so open. Like, even sometimes until my phone ping, you know, we were roaming from the UK.
Yeah.
I was like, welcome to Spain. I'm like, oh, we just got into Spain. You know, like, I've left France. So, literally that level of openness. And then I got to Morocco. Morocco was a breeze. It wasn't too bad. It's when I really started getting towards East Africa. And the first slam dunk was in Senegal. And then they say, you don't have a Canada passage, which is basically a document that you have to prove that you're planning to take the car back.
Right.
But the thing about me is I'm willing to pay an official fee.
Yeah.
Give me a receipt. But this, I got there at closing time. Why are these officers going home with this envelope?
Stacked, baby.
Brown. You think a bank just closed. Charging €250 for each passenger going by.
That doesn't have
this document. But when they say it's open to negotiation, I'm like, okay, let us negotiate then. Went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Until they just got to a point, it was like, okay, I think I said I had £15. but they had 50. So it was like, okay, we'll do the document for you. When I give them the 15, they're like, no, we wanted 50. I was like, no, you said this is all 15, I have, like 15. And that's at that point, I had to, that was the first night I had to sleep at the border. So it was like, God, I still want a receipt for this 15 because I don't want to be part of this your thing. Well, whatever it is, I want an official thing. So that was the first time. Then the second time was when
and
I
they
got
wouldn't
to,
let you through.
They won't let me through. They will let me as a person through, but my
not
car,
the car.
The car was the issue for the first time. So that's that thing. You have to know the difference between you as a person, like an ECOWAS, it does semi, okay, it needs some tweaking in terms of you, but they was asking for like, okay, I need money, I need you to pay this bribe basically.
Okay, so, sorry, so this is another thing I mean about, like, let's be thinking, let's people. Be, So yeah, you get to the land border and they're like, you can go, but not your car.
What's the point?
What's the plan? Okay, so all of us
how
now,
is she meant to?
Let all of us get down.
You know, I understand that, you know, but the thing is that we don't officially recognize Juju. So is she meant to levitate? What is the plan?
What's the plan? Also, if you think about that. For every, should we all, the purpose of a land border is to drive.
Exactly.
I'm not sure how many people are walking into Senegal. Okay, so when all of us get there
we just they don't think it through.
And get down.
I start trekking
to Lagos.
You know, like, what's the plan?
I got to Senegal. Senegal had the same thing. I told them, they was like, we've banned right-hand vehicle driving.
Who's that?
Sierra Leone.
They banned it.
Like right
sorry.
Hand, you cannot come.
They banned a type of car that exists in the world.
Like it's been banned. I was like, okay, that is your law. I am not your law. You've stated your law. I read about your law. But there's also something called a bylaw, whereby if a person is transiting, they are allowed to go through.
Okay. Mm.
They don't know that bylaw. They only know this law. So I'm like, what do you want me to do? They're like, oh yeah, we have to go back to where exactly. So it's just having to re-educate
the officers.
How did
you now like get? Did you show them the bylaw?
No, they didn't do it. It's not those people that you correct them and they dig down.
Are you
more.
Telling me?
My own
you
job,
telling
you know,
me
that kind of thing.
No, so that's the thing. Being Nigerian, hey, you know what you're seeing is. Hey. There's a kind of gra-gra that just tells you what's happening.
What's happening?
So it's almost like
half of the gra-gra is honestly the ignorance of I didn't know. And now you're trying to like...
No, it's not even... I don't think it's that. It's also like a power thing.
It's a power thing. 100%.
I've noticed this as a difference. In any community, environment, society that treats office, and by that I mean people that wear uniform. So you're a firefighter, you're a policeman, you're a traffic warden, you're a soldier, you're in the Navy, you're in the Army. The countries or societies that treat those uniforms as people whose your highest calling is to help, and those who treat that uniform as a tool of power. You see the difference completely. So I'm a customs officer. I'm an immigration officer.
And like,
I'm
my job is to enforce problem.
Or I'm here as a
god, almost.
Not even a god. As people who understand this as, like, this uniform is a powerful tool that is at my discretion to use. And those who think that this uniform gives me the power as a representative of the state to help people. The difference is very, very clear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and that difference means that if you get to a country or a state or a city where you are able to converse and you say, oh, but I read this bylaw. Mm. The first thing is, let me see.
No.
And then let me make a phone call.
Exactly.
And then they come back
to
you.
And they come back.
The other part is, the thing is that I am the authority. I'm the one that will tell you.
Exactly.
And you always see it differently. So for instance, every time I've asked a police officer, why are you doing this? And I don't shout. Or I say, okay, but you're supposed to be helping me. You can see a second of confusion. Almost like, but no, I'm not. I'm a powerful person in this uniform.
I remember when I told one that, you know, you're not actually allowed to get into people's cars. And they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, I can't, as in...
It's what it is.
It's just what it is. You're actually like...
You're not allowed to,
it's not a thing. You don't have any warrant. You can't actually just open somebody's car and enter. I mean, let's say Kurt was walking now. This is going to be a problem for you. And Leah was not like, hey. He said, hey. Are you a lawyer?
No, that's the one they hate the most.
He said, are you a lawyer?
Oh, do you know, I saw a sticker.
I said, no, that I'm just... He said, if you're not a lawyer, how do you know?
I saw a sticker recently that explains to you why the Nigerian police, they hate lawyers. It says, it was at the back, and you can tell it was a lawyer's car, and it says, I be lawyer, trouble not my work. And I know that there's no officer that's going to see that
sticker and stop it.
But I feel very strongly about that idea. But like you are saying Sierra Leone, so what did they now do?
So that was in Liberia, sorry.
Liberia.
So I was there for two nights at the border. I had to sleep there for two nights.
Sorry, do you know that now that you've said it, even though it's just your experience and mine, I'm now feeling like Liberia is a country that wants to hold people. Because
when I went to Senegal,
oh my God, we had to stay in Liberia for 9 hours. I said, God,
free me.
Me, I just said, let me go on a light holiday. Why is Liberia holding me? You don't understand. You guys, these people said that they were not going to. And obviously, this was even before like enter the thing, but I should have known then that I have a spirit of fighting because all of a sudden I even went by air, but it was one of those as in downfall flights.
Okay, where you drop,
they drop you.
Now the problem was that there was not a problem with the aircraft. They now said we have to branch. Because Liberia is not the stop. It's Gambia, exactly. Like, Ghana.
Yeah, that's weird.
They say we have to branch Liberia. God, if this is how this movie starts. Because you know all those movies, this is how the nobody starts. First of all, they should stop in Liberia. Then problem occurs. We stopped in Liberia, 30 minutes, 1 hour. I said, this is Liberia.
What's going on?
Oh, yeah. They now said, oh, we can't move. We have to wait for a different plane to come. We should get down. I said, I'm not getting down. They said, we should get down. I said, no. I'm not getting down. Okay. We now got down. Then I said, we should sit down at the airport. Mind you, random airport in Liberia. Not the main one.
Oh, okay.
No food. No water. Nobody is there. Just the airport. People were now just sitting down, lying and getting comfortable. And I looked at them. I said,
what's going on?
Excuse me. We're in a foreign land.
Why are you getting so comfortable?
I said, you know what? If we're going to stay here overnight, you estimate 9 hours, then according to my air clinical compensation, I'm going to a hotel to stay. I've called one of my friends. They know wanting somebody. They said we cannot leave the airport. You guys. I said, sorry? You want me to? I said, do you know I'm British?
They were a British
accent. Do you know I'm a British citizen and I can go to the embassy at any time? Next thing, they said they were not going to give us. There was no water in the airport.
Oh, man.
I was like, I'm sorry, this is a hostage situation.
No, genuinely.
No, look at it. Why in a locked place? There's no food.
There's no water.
Just carry on. At the end of the day, next thing you know, they now let other countries, as in countrymen, Ghanaians, they could step out. They said Nigeria. I said it about me. What have we done?
In Liberia.
They said Nigerians cannot leave the airport due to flight risk.
Oh.
In Liberia. Atigia. Nigerians have suffered.
I said, do you know who we are as a giant
of Africa? How dare you? Anyway. As I was screaming on their border, I have a visa. I'm a Nigerian citizen.
Really?
I have the right, yeah.
So you stayed for 2 days.
2 days. I had to call the Nigerian embassy and, you know, someone stepped in.
I have to stop.
Go on.
I have to button. You see, you guys, it's not funny. Our rep has been, I'm not trying to be funny.
Okay.
In Obasanjo's day, it is impossible. It is you stopped in Liberia. No. That man would have, you know, Obasanjo had a reputation of like generally, other African countries are just like,
don't mess with
I'm using
them.
God to beg you.
Don't let this guy, just leave don't them give alone. Us this guy's problem.
The Nigerians, please, leave them
I'm
alone.
Curious, did the embassy help you?
They did, actually.
Okay, good. Because no, as for him. Me, yo, it's not that me and me. Once they started saying this Nigerian problem, and I saw other Nigerians relaxing, messing about. Before I brought up my British passport, but before then, I just started vexing. I was like, let me tell you something. Nobody's going to have peace inside this airport until I have water. You are crazy. I said, nobody will rest until I drink water, until I eat food. What the hell do you mean? They said there's no water. I said, there was water on the plane. There's water on the plane. Go get it. They said the aircraft problem is against policy. I said, you know what is against policy? For you to starve me and give me. Other people went and I said, yes. And I went to sit down briefly. I was calling. One man or one woman came to meet me there. So what did they say? I said, look at you. You big, at your age. You people cannot go and fight. They were not waiting for me to go and meet. There was not one man in uniform, one officer. He now came from the army. I said, let me tell you something. I'm British. Mm. You can't beat. You can't. There's nothing you can do. This officer that you went to call. What does he want to do here? You must. It's against the law. This. Hey. It's only when I said I was British, that I now said, you know what? I found.
It's quite
the number.
Sad that it has.
Yeah,
to
I
be
found the number of the British embassy. Yeah, and I called them and I said I'm stranded in the airport in Liberia. I promise you, it was 2 phone calls. They asked all my plenty details. Where did I come from? What was my British passport? What was this one, this one, this one? Took like 1 hour. The guy and I said, okay, he wants to speak to her. And he was like, you can't hold a British citizen like in the airport without water, without anything. You can't let them go. So they were like, oh, okay, me, I can go. All the Nigerians are now looking at me. I said, okay, no problem. I won't go. But can I please go out and get water? And come back.
But you know,
isn't there just like fundamentally something wrong with, again, it's this thing of power. A situation has gone wrong through maybe no fault of anybody, the plane, you're in an airport in a country. So for instance, like, I just think about it as, what impression do you want
people to have?
What goes wrong when you offer people water?
Yeah.
Do you understand? The escalation of this situation is so insane. And
it's all these little things of, oh, it's policy.
Such a foolish and I'm
like,
power trip.
But like, look at just, again, you know, we're not staying.
Yeah.
We're waiting for a plane.
Yeah.
I think people fundamentally forget they're humans first.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you're not a computer. You have brains. You can make a human decision.
You have
decision,
feelings.
You
know? Have emotions. You know what it's like
you
to
know,
be.
Yeah. Thirst, you're a mother. You went home, took a shower, came back, saw me still here, and you're okay in yourself.
Also, 2 days
you know?
For you as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, like you're okay in yourself.
You're not immune to thirst. You know what it feels like to feel grimy and disgusting. When you say stuff like, oh, they can't take a shower.
Mm.
They can't leave the place. Mm. We don't have water. We don't have food. Some of these things to me are just so bizarre in the fact that like there's just no need. You know, like when it's like, I understand if there's need, when there's a need for certain things.
Mm.
But there's no world in which having people be comfortable. You know, what's the L you're going to take from offering maybe 100 people water, bottles of water? What is that cost?
What's the backlash?
What's the backlash? Mm. What is the negative? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the downside of that? Before people get to, okay, you can say the hotel is expensive. Mm. Maybe if you do it, head office will shout at you, your airline federation. Let's even start with the water.
Mm.
What is then saying water in saying, okay, we don't have food, we have snacks.
Mm.
What negative is there with that? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Some of these things really bother me because of a bribe that is the equivalent of maybe, you know, £50, £30.
You just don't want to be
here. You keep someone at a border for 2 days because you don't understand why a woman is traveling by herself. You've seen the concept. She has shown you videos. You know this is a real thing. But you don't understand it. Yeah, making her life a bit more difficult.
Yeah. I literally went and printed. They said the phone one is not enough.
Really?
I had to go and do Saba Cafe and print physical
Saba
articles
Cafe
and
in
stuff
that,
in that area.
Of course.
Like,
of
you
course,
know,
of
they
course,
will have Saba Cafe and stuff. Like, so I had to go and print, like, you know, news articles. I'm like, it's just like, this is ridiculous. This is just crazy, crazy.
Oh, so eventually they let you through.
They let me through after the
through.
I drove straight through that thing. People were like, oh, stop waiting. I drove. It was a full. The girls are good. I'll give them that one. But it was literally a drive through.
Oh my gosh,
Liberia.
That's crazy.
I didn't bother stopping.
So where did you have your accident?
Ivory Coast.
Wow.
So obviously it's like a ripple effect because they go, if they haven't stopped me, we'll have it. You know, there's that thought that goes towards your head. Again, bribery. We got to the border at 10 a.m., back and forth. They wanted 60,000 cifers, $100, you know. I was like, nope, not paying it. Not paying it.
For what?
For exactly. For a piece of document that just says enter into our country, basically. Back and forth, 7 p.m. And they're like, okay. They finally gave me the paper because they were closing for the day. I was like, I need to go. If you go, I'll just drive into your country. It's one of the rest. So it's like, so they gave me the document after I refused to pay. And so I was like, I haven't researched. You know, we're talking about researching certain place. I don't know this place that well. Let me drive to where I researched for my pit stop for the day. Mm-hmm. It was dark. The truck was parked on the side of the road, which big truck. So it went into the road. No hazard lights. Normally they won't put like branch leaves or something just to warn you. Nothing. So 1 minute I was driving, 1 minute I had airbags. It was literally that fast.
Oh my God.
It was like, what just happened? And I didn't even know your iPhones are programmed when you have an accident. So all I hear is, it seems like you've been in an accident. I'm calling for SOS. And I'm like, that's when it literally clicked. Like, yeah. Oh, crap. I have actually been like, something is wrong.
Oh, wow.
So it was at that moment. So I tried to crawl. I opened the... And then my aunt was going on. I think the impact caused the aunt to be ringing. So I tried to open my door. It was jammed shut. So I crawled through the passenger side. And then by then, all the neighbors had woken up, the community. Oh, I just saw was flashlights coming towards me. And they were speaking French. I didn't speak any French. But they knew I just had the accident. They could see the car all wrecked out. So they called the ambulance. Thank God it was in like in a developed city.
That had an
Thank
ambulance.
God I wasn't speeding, that you know, there was a stronger collision. Like there was just so many.
So like emergency services came.
Emergency
services,
so ambulance came 10, 15 minutes, they were there. There was fire brigades and stuff like that. I called my mom, I called the local person. Honestly, like, you know, they were literally, they had that kind of like setup. I'll give them that credit. Mm. But again, when the police was like, don't want to press charges to the truck driver, I was like, it was wrong. You should have had a bit of warning. But it was a ripple effect from the border. You know, I shouldn't have been on that road at that time.
At night.
You know, I can count the amount of time I drove on my hand, the amount of time I drove at night on this road trip. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just something I avoid. Because it just comes an extra layer of risk. No light. No, it's not like, you know, exactly. So there's just, so just definitely I'm very big on, you know, policy change in terms of who are monitoring these people at these borders? What are the checkpoints? Even all the way to Ghana. Like, everyone come to Ghana from Togo. I get there, the close time is 6 o'clock. I get there at 6:15, 6:20, 5:15, 5:20. They've closed from work. Hey, the rest of the 40 minutes.
What's happening? What's going on? Like, okay, and it's just you need to get into the country. Cool.
Yeah, it's like just sleep at the. I'm like, I'm not. That's why it's kind of. I was like, I'm not. This border, you either go and call your SSO, SS3, whatever their name. Go and call somebody because I am not. I was over it by then. And this was sleeping. I was over it. And then they found. They call someone to come back from their house and open the gate. So it's just that kind of like, there seems to be no checkpoint. There seems to be no accountability. There seems to be no, you know, if something is wrong, who is reporting these people?
How did you handle having to fix your car? Like,
so we told it to Abidjan, which is the capital of Ivory Coast. So there was a mechanic. Again, the Nigerian embassy stepped in. Like, I'm going to shout and give them the credit when it's like, they really did do a good job. Like, I didn't call it embassy to help. Because embassy for me was American embassy. Yeah. 3 a.m. wake up to go and queue to get visa. So it was when people are like, contact the local. I'm like, what? Why? You know, I've been traveling. I've never needed to come. But another thing I wanted to test on this road trip was, can an average traveler say, I want to do travel within my African continent without any connects or knowing somebody? And the answer is
no. So you didn't call anyone you knew. You just called, okay, this is local embassy.
Just the local embassy. So I knew another person in Abidjan that I stayed with, Afro Foodie, amazing lady, Yasmin. But fixing the car, so it was great because the mechanic spoke French and Yoruba. So I was able to talk to him or have a bit of a rapport. And the car was fixed in about 10 days. So I had to push. My arrival was meant to be 23rd and get to go for my mom's 60th birthday. But that was pushed to the 7th, so... Yeah, we made it in one piece. You know? And that's what we say. You can only regret. You only have this feeling of, stuff because you're alive, you know. If it was something else, then it's kind of like...
How are you? Because you just mentioned you didn't drive at night. So that means you were stopping in places to sleep. Now, you're sleeping in your car. So how did you figure out where to stay?
So I had this app, iOverlander. Yeah. So it kind of just tells you the route of what people, where people are at and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, where stopover, campsite.
Okay, where you can sleep lodge with your
or something
car,
like that, sleep in my car. So if I'm wild camping, not
you know that kind. Stuff,
but still not, there's no shower facility. So let's say I'm just, you know, very lit street or in front of a monument or something where I know that they tend to have security as well because of the monument site. But I'll need to find shower in the morning. I'll probably rock up to the hotel and like, can I use a shower and pay you a tip or something like that? Or, you know, I'll stay on a campground, which definitely then has shower facilities and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how I was able to
That's so interesting. Because I thought about showering as well.
Daily showers. I did not miss not one day.
It's very key. Because once you slip, that's crazy.
I know this is weird, but like, I want to ask because I feel like when I'm on my period, I don't like any disruption to my routine. I try to keep even my contact with human beings to the minimum because I get grumpier. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot more uncomfortable. Were you worried about that on the road?
Yes. So I did deliberate the idea of, you know, going on the pill for while I'm doing this road trip. But I was like, you know, that also comes with hormonal
things.
I don't want to shift my body too much. So I was like, okay, let's do it. But those, you know, 5-6 days of bleeding, I'll be as comfortable as possible. So I'll check into a hotel for those periods of time so I can do twice a day shower and just kind of like limit my driving to as yeah. well. So that would be a point in the time whereby I'm just exploring the city.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that much driving. So yeah, that's how I kind of worked it into it. But as a woman, it was definitely something I had to consider to be like, okay, you know, this is something we go through and we just have to work around it.
Were there, because I know we have to wrap up soon, I want to ask about like, I was going to ask, were there any periods where you felt like unsafe because of something happening like in the environment? Like, I don't know, you know, sometimes there's something going on in the city, you're driving through, you're not meant to drive through that area. Was there anything like that or you were smooth sailing?
It was honestly smooth sailing, except from the accident, except from the border control. Obviously, when Senegal had like the election thingy, there was like riots and stuff like that, you know, or, you know, notice of riots. Yeah. So I had to just keep up to news of where I'm going. And people were, you know, people were very concerned. They were concerned for me. I was like, okay, I've seen this. You know? So people were trying to send lots of information into us. Like, open your head to Senegalese, you know, be aware of this and that.
That's so cute.
And yeah, I also, the plan was also to go through Mali and Burkina Faso. But obviously because of what's happening in Mali, I just like, could not just stick to the
That's another problem with this West Africa worker.
Yeah.
The Monday that I said I'm leaving, everything is normal. By Wednesday, it's cool.
Excuse me, where did it come from?
No, honestly, like, you don't know that anywhere. You can't even just...
You're like, bro, why not? Wait for me to pass.
Like, even was saying that, you know, that when people say, oh my God, like, you know, because it's a very normal thing in the UK, in Europe, to like, you just see on your Wednesday, they'll be like, oh, and trips to flights to Germany, that's £5 for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So you can't just be like,
shop, in and out.
And a friend of mine was joking that, you want to do that one in Africa? It's when you land, they'll just, you just hear a land that they are closing the airport.
And what was your like absolute highlights or like one or two things that like you didn't plan but were really special on the trip?
So many. I remember driving to the Atlas Mountain. It's almost like driving to Namibia. Just beautiful. Absolutely stunning roads and stuff like that. I really enjoy Mauritania. I rode the largest train in the world, Karen Iron Coals. So it's a very unique experience. You're there with your turban and your ski glasses and you're just, you know, sleeping under the stars. 12 hours train ride. Incredible. If you're an adventure traveler, that's kind of like your thing and that's why I dig. Just kind of like the road, you just get to meet so many people, so many communities, get to see how little they have and how much joyful they are. And I think trips like this makes you realize you don't need that much. I know we chase after the bag and we want the bag, but at the end of the day, you know, life is quite simple as well. Senegalese food, I don't know why jollof and Ghana and Nigeria are giving over jollof rice. Like, there is another winner. It's not us. It's not us. So just, you know, really enjoying the food, the cuisines, you know, the people. I think the people made the trip. Like after the accident, you know, there was this lady that was part of the community member, Desiree. She just felt sorry for me. She literally jumped into the ambulance. The 2 days I was in the hospital for, she was next to me. She did not leave my side. Like, honestly, the kindness of humanity is just so special.
Crazy.
Like, it just, you know, we see all these bad things, but to experience such goodness, you know, people going out of their way, like, without, you know, seeking, like, just remind me of, like, humans are good. Like, we fundamentally are good. So, yeah, I think there were just so many beautiful memories that, you know, you can't put a price tag on it. It's really nice.
Oh, wow. So I wanted to quickly just talk about your other stuff, because you have a company doing trips and all that. And like, just so you know, let's shout out that one as well. What is that like? Because, you know, I always wonder about this thing, because I'm like, I have almost gone on one of these planned group trips before. And I just paused because I was like, oh, well,
I might not know this
person. What if you're, it's not even knowing me. I don't mind meeting people, but I'm sometimes like, what if your vibe is just not like what it appears? Because it's one thing to say, I've used travel planners to say, I'm going on holiday, plan this holiday for me. But when it's like, this is the holiday we have planned and you can just join it, it's a bit different. So do you go with them or it's just ones that like, and how is that?
So Oremi Travel, that's what makes us very different in terms of you actually come with your crew of people.
Right.
We don't set a date and a bunch of strangers come, which is what you're talking about. We celebrate milestones and celebrations. So like your bachelorette, your 30th,
okay,
your 50th.
So groups of people.
So it's a group of people that already know each other, already love each other and just want to have memories together.
And is it places you've been to or just organizing?
Just organizing. So we've done Dubai, we've done Bali. If you want me to be there as a host and, you know, just have a local touch to it, I can come there as an extra charge. But if you just want to do your thing and my team just take care of it, then you can do that too as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah,
awesome,
we make
awesome,
it
both. Awesome.
Very cool.
Because
I want you to help us solve one dilemma.
Okay.
People write all sorts.
Oh,
to be quite frank.
I love this bit of the show.
Let's see.
Okay, so I wanted us, let me see, based on your personality.
Okay.
With what I think
you. Okay, I mean, no nonsense. Okay, so let's go with baby sister. Who says, hi, Jola and FK. How are you guys? I love your podcast and I see you as my bestie. Okay, hey, bestie.
Hey.
She says, okay, so my sister's boyfriend is having issues with his family and she would like to know if she should continue with him or not. Actually, I hope she doesn't see this. She's really confused and I really don't know how to advise her, but I want to hear people's opinions. Her boyfriend's family is just not nice. They dupe him to get money and lie about many things. They go to the extent of faking being sick or faking getting arrested just to get money out of him. But it's not like he's rich. He's doing well for himself and he's extremely young. And it's also not like he doesn't send them money. He sends money, but for some reason, they have this attitude of trying to get more from him and steal. It's really somehow. Today, they will lie about being on admission. Tomorrow, it's being arrested. Next tomorrow, borrowing outright and just not paying back. And he'll be the one to pay the debt.
Mm.
His brother will do one thing. Another cousin will do another thing. Right now, for her, she feels like life is hard enough already. Mm. And she doesn't want to continue with that kind of family. But he's a really, really nice guy. And we must consider that this is his family. But she's just not comfortable.
Okay.
His family is based in Lagos while they are in Port Harcourt. So his mom's family sold their house and shared the money. She brought the person and sold the house, but ate her own share and her elder brother's without telling him. Her son, my sister's boyfriend, sells cars. So they lied to him that someone gave his dad money to buy a car and his dad chopped the money. And they now can't pay the person back. Only for him to find out that it was a house they sold and have eaten the money. But they expect him to pay back the debts for what they did. Please consider that he pays their rent and all the bills, but they are still not satisfied. So it's just constantly one thing or another. It never ends with the family considering that he has his own expectations and that they are getting married. She doesn't know if she should accept. So for context, when they come up with a lie, his mom will call him to cry and convince him that it's true, only to find out they were all in cahoots. What do you guys suggest? Let's start with our guest.
Yeah, why don't you go?
What do you think?
Does and everyone he knows, does he know this, that this is what his family is doing?
His girlfriend is not going to know if he does.
Yeah. His girlfriend's sister.
I can't see. His only girlfriend's sister knows.
No, so no, let me explain. If something's happening with your family, I can't know unless you tell me.
Yeah.
Because I have no link to the family.
So he definitely knows.
Except it's you. So he's aware. But he just can't seem
He can't seem to take himself out.
I guess she's asking what her sister should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if she should leave him or not.
That one's hard though.
I can't lie. Sometimes.
Have you seen that gif of the guy that disappears?
Let me know.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm not too. If it was, look, I want to be honest. I have a sister. If it was my sister, I'd have been like, bounce. So like, which day should we pack your things? I'm not lying. I'm just saying, I'm not considering the guy now. If it's my sister.
You're just protecting your sister.
As quickly as possible.
Fair enough.
We're balling out of there. And not, no discredit to him. He might be the loveliest guy in the world. But you see, if you marry into this current problem, two of you will be there.
Be inside of it.
No, it's no, she's
soon
not.
Soon now, the mom will start calling.
No. You know why it's going to be worse?
Yes.
So these...
Now they have to income.
Yeah.
His situation is not unique at all. At all. That's what first of all makes this really, really sad. Being taken advantage of by your family.
Yes.
People, it happens to people.
It happens to people. And because people have that high loyalty to their family. Yes. It's almost like it's my responsibility.
And he's the one. So there's always a family.
He needs to put some boundaries in place.
In every family that has this dynamic, I noticed that it feels like there's just this one person.
That's the breadwinner.
But what it is that they know that it's not just about being the breadwinner. Yeah. It's that they understand fundamentally your flaw in that sense
they
of like
twist it
your loyalty and your fear of if I don't do this,
you're wrong. What happens? You want to please them.
And people and you don't want your family to get into big trouble. You don't want them arrested. You don't want them in trouble. Why this is actually a problem is that if your sister marries him and they build their family unit, it is not a joyful thing for them because what's happening is that unit is taken away
from them. From so them. They're spiteful.
So you and that family are now the enemy. His actual family unit is automatically the enemy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
your children's school fees are a negative expense as far as they're concerned. Your holiday, your peace of mind.
The fact
that you say you don't want people to come and just stay in the house for an extended period of time. Oh, why are we doing
this?
Do you know what is crazy? Your mother sold her house. With her brother. No, ate her own share, it's her elder brother's share.
And now you have to pay him back.
I'm sorry to sound crazy. Let me explain something to you based on my own understanding of family.
Mm.
There is no world in which my mom deals with an inheritance that has nothing to do with me and is coming back to meet me. Do you understand? I had no part
of it. Not one of your siblings.
I'm not one of your siblings. And do you understand? It's not as if you gave me the money from this thing, right? This dishonesty
but you
has
see,
nothing
to be
to
honest,
do with
she
me.
Took her brother's money because she knew that someone
is around to pay it. Oh.
See, it's cruel. And the thing is, on one end, I'm like, okay, he needs support and everything. But the problem is, for the sister, that's not her fight.
Mm.
And honestly, until he is ready,
he has to be the one to fight it. No
until
one can fight that battle.
Battle.
Do you know,
that's his family.
I have very few rules about dating. Like, I'm very easygoing. I've never really had a type. The one thing that is consistent for me is I generally like the person in the family that everybody, quite frankly, tiptoes a little bit around. I like the hair. You know, the one that, you know, he has warned everybody, don't disturb him too much. Don't talk to him too much like this. Not because I really enjoy people that are kind, but firm. There has to be firm. You cannot be
it's just
as
establishing
a mug.
Boundaries, really.
Yeah. How can your whole family think
of
you
as
a mumu in the family?
Basically, yeah.
Do you know what it is for your mom see, to steal? So, she stole.
She stole
my brother
and called you to pay.
I made up a story.
Do you
not
know
even
how
being honest
cruel
about the situation.
Do you know how crazy it is for my cousins?
That's crazy.
To be able to be in cahoots with my mother to rip me off.
It's crazy.
Do you know how insane that is?
Anyway, the truth is that if it's my sister, I'm not going to consider like how he feels. I'm going
to
get her out of there.
Yeah.
Quickly.
I think that's
what I'll do because same. I can't lie. I'll do the same one. We have to ball out. I'm so sorry. He will be a lovely guy, I'm sure. But he doesn't have any boundaries. And like, I don't want you to be involved
and
in that.
So far, neither does she.
No. Mm.
Because
if you can see
he
clearly.
Has no, he has, there's nothing that has told him that I'm losing this babe based on, do you understand? You know, like how there's some things, when you're grown, Sha, your relationship dynamics change. You see, there's a way you learn about family dynamics that you want to be a part, that by remaining there, you are acquiescing to this being
part
of
exactly.
our, this
part
of
our part
dynamic.
Of our madness. We're all
so
part of it.
That first time he came and told you that, he found out that his cousin that they said they arrested, it was a scam. And then he said, oh my God, baby, I'm so sorry. He just clocks out, okay.
She's
on the same
wavelength.
If you had said, so when are they rearresting him to collect your
money?
Yeah. Then he now quickly realizes
that
he's
not the same one.
This girl is
kind
not
of
that kind of babe that,
yeah.
Do you understand? So the next time he's coming to say, it's like my mom wants to start this thing again.
But even on the other side, I cannot be the one constantly tensioning you. Why don't you also have sense?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that, but she knows.
She's not now, so maybe
she feels like he's not her fight. But we have moved to the part like they're talking about you want
your
to get
fight,
married.
Get married, your fight.
No, I think you need to tell your sister.
I think she needs to tell her sister that I'm sorry. It's not like he's the one that has sought this out.
Yes.
And so far as we're looking at the current situation, he has also said that she cannot marry him.
And she'll be the evil one. That's the problem.
A witch.
She's
clearly.
A witch.
She's going
since
to be
she
a witch.
Came, he has stopped giving us money.
She's
in
going
fact,
to be a witch.
In fact, whenever anything happens now, he just washes her off from family. Once he met her, no. So, okay, you can't win.
For sure, you can't win.
Can't win. Can't win the situation.
Okay, I have another one from Chloe. Urgent help, capital letters. FK Angela, please help me. I'm about to lose my mind. I have an acquaintance that stinks a lot.
Hey.
And the smell follows her and it spreads with her. It slowly absorbs the place where she is and everyone knows. She normally follows me around and I don't know how to tell her she smells. I don't know her personality because she doesn't talk much, so I don't know what she can take or not. I can't cut her off as well because she helps me academic wise. Please help me. What do I do?
Stink like body odor?
Yeah. Oh. Only. This is what, because she's helping
because
her
because she's using exactly. Hey, people.
Do you know, I find this one of them like a very delicate thing that you have to handle because the first thing is, you said she's an acquaintance.
She's not your friend.
She's not your friend. Because if she was your friend,
you would have been
there's a way that you just, like, uncomfortable, but you just have to yell and that, listen, I don't want you to be in situations where people don't want to be around you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if she's your acquaintance and she has to be around you, I feel like you have to find a way. I've had to have this conversation like 3 times in life. I don't know that there's a pleasant way to go about
it. Yeah.
You can be kind, but like, nobody actually wants to hear that they're smelling. And that's why everybody's feeling somehow. But I'm sorry, someone has to say it.
And the earlier, the better.
The earlier, the better.
Do you know what, guys? I know, like, this has happened to me. I remember one situation and a lot of other people know.
Yeah.
So that was what happened. I thought it was just me. Mm. And then a friend of mine, I think what happened was another friend, and it sounds really awful, but what happened was the person came in and left. And I think I made a face, and my friend goes, okay, oh so God, it's not just me.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad. And so we asked a third friend who said, oh shit, do you know, I've been thinking about this thing since. And then I realized that we all felt really bad because we, onto, oh my God, we don't know how to say it.
Nobody said it.
Nobody said it. And it was a, almost, it was like a thing. Mm. And when it, when we eventually said it, it was, she looked so betrayed by the fact that like so many of us
had thought of it,
had thought of and felt this way and just didn't say anything. She was, that upset her more so than much. Even,
yeah.
So she was like, wait, so do you guys mean to tell me? She was crying. She was like, do you guys mean to tell me that I've been going around for months with this smell? She was so upset. She was so embarrassed. Like it became a whole thing where she just didn't want to hang out with us. She didn't want to really talk to us. She had become even more self-conscious. It was just, it ended up, and we were teenagers at the time. So it was just really, really bad. And it's one of the few reasons why, when it comes to that smelling thing,
you would tell them?
I feel really strongly about just saying something. It's a very awkward thing.
It's really awkward. And I don't think like, you can't try and make it less uncomfortable. Like, you can't try and make it comfortable.
It's not, I don't like your dress.
You can make it, you can there's a way to say
you can be gentle
about it.
You can be gentle.
But it will never be pleasant.
Exactly.
That's the exactly. It's never going to be pleasant.
Yeah. It can never be a pleasant experience for anybody involved because they're going to be embarrassed. You can't help that.
Yeah.
They're going to feel somehow. Mm. Also, if they're not stupid, they will know like the basic thing. So obviously something is going wrong somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like about, so it's not now for you to start explaining these are you shower.
No,
or maybe, I don't know. But the point is that I feel like you have to say something.
You have to say something.
I'm very big on not allowing people, you know, like be out here looking like a fool.
Yeah. Because something stuck in your teeth or lipstick.
Yeah, like you need to just quickly like tap them, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then
keep it moving.
And just keep it moving. And you know, if the person needs help, like, I don't know. I don't know the reason some people have body odor, but like you figure, you know,
they'll figure it out.
Yeah. But I think
you need awareness is the first step.
You need to, I think you need to, and like if it's bothering you this much,
it's bad.
You and you care about the person, or have
you need to
come on ground with the person.
It, look, even if we make it selfish, she's helping you.
Exactly.
Help her.
Helping you pass your school.
Help her.
So you to help her. Like it's really unkind if. You know,
don't say anything.
Yeah, if you don't say anything. And people will now be wondering, like, it's really unkind. So.
All right, Pelumi has to go. So she have come to the end of a fabulous episode.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations and very well done. Very, very well done.
I think it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
And I look forward to all the other things. I'm sure you still do more.
She will do more.
Sure you still do another one. I'm sure. So I look forward to it.
Where can people find you?
On Instagram. Pelumi.Nubi, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, long-term for content.
Yeah.
Pelumi.Nubi_. And if you want to just ask me a question, hello@pelumi.nubi.com.
Great.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, guys. You know what to do. All the liking
all
and
the liking
things.
And everything. We love you. We love you.
Thank you.
Like, subscribe, please.
Exactly. Thank you.
Do all those ones.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
See you next week.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.